Well, I don't judge. To each their own. Every garbage can has its lid.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
Good evening and welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, an LGBT podcast streaming live on Digital Stream Radio, where you can access that live stream every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can do so by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. Today, we're going to be joined by Britt East, author of A Gay Man's Guide to Life, a part personal growth development manual, and the other part, a memoir. They join us after the second half of the show, of course. We're going to go through our spiel and do all of our good stuff, and then we'll bring them in. And, of course, my name is Tom. I'm your host, and I'm always, as always, I'm here with my amazing co-host, starting with the first one.
Hey, y'all, Nick or Trish.
She's a little red. And...
good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
Rinse and repeat. And welcome you all to... The Dish.
Fuck her.
These headphones are fantastic.
They really aren't they?
Yeah.
So we've got new gear in the studio. Our old headphones, they're like, what, 5 years old?
Excess wires, but
yeah.
It's okay.
They were about 5 years old, so it was time to get something new. I'm working on getting new mics for these two bitches so that, you know, they can sound exceptional. Even though they do already, but, you know.
Does anybody really want to hear me at that level?
Like, accentuate your whininess?
I was going to say, we already have to hear Tom at that level.
Oh, she's nasty.
You nailed it.
Thank you.
I'm back. I know.
So we've got an interesting show. We've got, you know, this book, again, it's A Gay Man's Guide to Life. That's interesting. And I want to, you know a little bit more about the author and what this book really does. So we're going to definitely do that on the second half of the show. But right now, we're going to talk about weekends. We're going to talk about everything that's happened in the past week, and then we'll jump into some stories and then bring our guest. So I'm going to kick it off to my fellow co-host here around the table. She's busy, so I will throw it over to you.
Okay.
Trish, how are you?
I'm good.
I was just reading.
I know, but that's okay. I wanted you to finish.
For once in
your edumacation is important.
No, I had a good week, a good weekend. Literally kind of relaxed most of it.
Right. And you're red. Why are you like lobster red right now?
I went away this weekend. I went to my good friend's, well, Paul's sister's house. And the first day I forgot to put on SPF until like it was far too late. Paul's nephews, I touch my skin in the morning and you can see that it's like changing color, right?
Yeah.
His oldest nephew was like, are you okay?
Aww.
Like, he's like all into boo-boos now.
Right.
Like he gets a little cut and like he's gonna die, you know what I mean? So he thinks like, I'm like...
one big boo-boo.
Yeah.
Honey, she right. You is one big boo-boo.
She's a huge boo-boo. I mean that with a lot of love.
I don't.
No, but it was a really good time. We
just kidding.
Fuck both of you. We had lobster. We hung out by the pool. Mm. We, you know, it was just really nice to kind of just get away and have a good time. No one knew that I left.
I know. I looked at your location. I'm like, oh, she in New York.
I was like, I'm wondering why I haven't heard from her all weekend. And then, you know.
Yeah, it was sort of impromptu.
Like, so a lot of people don't know. We locate each other. So we gave each other permission to see where we're at all the time.
Big mistake. So
no, not really.
On my part, big mistake.
No, because if you were ever in an emergency,
true, I know. Help,
I know exactly where you are. And so we know, and normally I don't check, right? And so I didn't check all weekend where this bitch was. So when she mentioned to me that she was away, I was like, oh, no wonder I didn't hear from you all weekend. And it's okay. But, you know, it's there for emergencies, mm-hmm. right? Like that one time that I had that hookup in Maine. Remember mm-hmm. that?
Yes. No. Yeah.
And you were like, I sent you a text message. Bitch, you have my location. If I don't reach out to you in like 20 minutes, call the cops and send them to this address.
It was like a half hour.
Yeah. It was like
half
hour. Even half an hour is like cutting it a little short.
So, but yeah, you know, and we do that. And we do that only because, you know, we need to know.
And we used to go away a lot too.
Right.
And, you know, Chris wanders.
He does.
I wake up in different places. Yeah.
Yeah.
But other than that, no, I had some kind of crappy news today and some great news that I want to share.
So please do.
So the crappy news is a job offer that I had was rescinded. So mm-hmm. I no longer have that job offer, which sucks a little bit. But, you know, you know, it'll be fine. I'll figure it out, whatever. But on the other side, I am now a board member of the New Haven Pride Center.
Yay!
And I'm so excited to join the New Haven Pride Center. And, I mean, like, Patrick has done such great work there.
Absolutely.
And just talking to them prior to the vote, like, they have such an amazing plan for the next 5 years, and I can't wait to be a part of it. Like,
and the programming is going to be great.
Yeah, you
know?
No.
Even amidst COVID, so you know that a lot of Pride centers had to shut down, they are really actively going out of their way to provide amazing programming for people and doing some online, like, live chats to talk about how, you know, Latinx and all these other communities, people of color, are being affected by some of the policies that currently exist. And, all of that.
Yeah. And you know, like, right now, like, funding for nonprofits, it's mm-hmm. like impossible to get funding.
Right.
And the New Haven Pride Center right now is doing, because of Patrick, is doing so well that at the end of this year, they're going to be in a better place than they've ever been, which
it's
is
amazing.
Crazy mm-hmm. considering we're in COVID right now.
Right. Right.
I'm literally so thrilled to join the board and, like, also to be on a board. Like, it's just kind of awesome and crazy, but, like, it's yeah, I'm excited.
I'm happy for you. Congratulations.
Seriously. I think you're going to do very good work there.
I think so. Because you're very passionate.
But now I need to find, like, a paid job. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, that's important, right? Because you need to pay the bills. But no, it's, I think that you are, you're going to be an invaluable resource to them and also a voice, right? We do it on the show every week. We talk about things that impact the community and we advocate for people. We have, you know, we showcase a lot of people in the LGBT community on our show. And so that is, it's just an extension of what you already do every day, like every week. And now you get to do that on a scale that helps an entire community in a community that you live in.
Yeah. And I hope that I can, like, stand by Patrick. I mean, I feel like for a while he's needed somebody who's, you know, been in fundraising before to, like, really help he's done a great job, but, like, to help grow the network for the Pride Center. So hopefully we can get some more sponsorships, some more board members. We, you know, just, you know, really help build it up in general. Like, I'm just really excited, and I'm excited about Patrick's vision. I'm excited about all of it. And I think it's going to be, you know, a really great experience for me because I need to be passionate about what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I'm definitely now passionate about the New Haven Pride Center.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah. And, you know, I am a member of the Pride Center. I pay my dues every year. And every time I get an opportunity, we raise money for the Pride Center because I believe that the work that they do is important for our community. And so if you have a local LGBTQ center or space in your area, please support them. You have no idea how invaluable those resources are to small children or even youngsters that are looking for guidance or a place to just go and watch a movie. You know, they have movie nights or...
Beyond that, I mean, like, when COVID happened, the Pride mm-hmm. Center, like every other organization, had to shift. And with everything going on and having to be quarantined, having to be home, a lot of these people and kids within the Pride Center that are part of the community, they didn't have the family that provides food. They didn't have mm-hmm, the family that provides shelter or clothing.
Or what, support for the fact that they are an LGBTQ member, right?
And so how they pivoted was finding funding to go shopping and make sure that they had stocked food at the Pride Center. So if people needed food, they could come get mm-hmm. it. If people needed clothing, they could come get it. Mm-hmm. They did so much amazing work prior to the webinars and everything else that they're doing, the art shows and all of that. The care that goes into the community is beyond the education. Like, my heart is 100% behind the care. The fact that they pivoted to make sure every single person they could feed was fed.
And it's also important to point out, yes, of course, it's invaluable, the amount of work that's being put in for the youngsters that we were saying or you were discussing, but it's also there as a resource for parents who are not quite sure, how can I support my child to the best of my abilities, whether they be lesbian, gay, bisexual, or if they're transitioning, which is so important. We've had guest parents who have talked about it. Even Mama Kim, Mm-hmm. Right. We've had many people who have reached out to their local pride centers to figure out how they can be the most supportive parent for their child.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And very quickly, speaking of Mama Kim, I would like to wish her and her family and everyone in the state of California who are going through some incredibly treacherous and horrible fires. You know, Mama Kim is safe, and I really don't want to give too many details of her personal issues or what's happening, but she is safe, and we're grateful for that. And we just want to send everyone out in California that are going through these wildfires a big hug, and our sincere, like, you know, we're praying for you, because it is impactful. It's impactful for everyone that that loses their home mm-hmm. to fires and not have a place to stay. But you know, we're grateful that she's okay.
Yeah, 100%. We love you, Mama Kim.
And I don't remember if I thanked her. Sorry, go ahead.
I just want to say one more thing.
Please.
So obviously joining the board, whatever. So we all know now the New Haven Pride Center, we're going to be a little bit more intertwined with them. We're going to be more involved with them, and we'll see how that evolves. But I'm excited to embark on this journey, not only being on the board, but with you guys as well.
Yeah, we're on your side. We're on the side of the Pride Center. We're
absolutely.
Always
we always have been. You know, Patrick is a longstanding member or guest here on our show, and the work that he's doing is just incredible.
Yeah,
we're
he's
super
a gay
proud
talker.
Of him. That's right.
He is.
Always will be.
Yeah, you can't get away.
So, Christopher.
I mean, I tried to escape so many times, and here I am.
Vote.
Vote.
Always. Rinse and repeat. Vote.
I didn't think that far through. I'm never wearing this shirt again.
What, that's a-
just kidding. It's happening. I'm still wearing the shirt.
Where's our gear? You said you ordered gear for
us. It's not here yet. Apparently, I'm not the only person who supports Joe Biden and Kamala Harris as the next president and vice president of the United States.
Why not?
Yeah, exactly.
Wait,
so
what?
It was
cut.
Okay. So a lot of the merchandise is. It takes time. Yeah, it takes time.
It's
so
okay.
It will be coming in. I definitely spent.
I want a pin so I can hang it over my nipple ring.
There you go. I got pins for us to choose from. I bought a really cool T-shirt. I bought yard signs. I bought.
Do I have to put one up in front
stickers.
Of my house?
I was going to put one for you anyway.
Okay,
I'll do it.
You don't
I'll
have a choice.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. No, I pretty much went through all of. Like went through. Oh, I got a Biden Harris face mask. Oh, I got so much stuff. I'm all in. And to add to the other two bumper stickers I have
balls
in my car already.
That's
balls
right. Deep.
That's right.
So, how was your weekend?
Well, it was good. I just wanted to say, since we were talking about Mama Kim, because I'm not sure if I thanked her already, but I did want to thank her for the Canadian bear that she made me.
Oh yes. And you got a unicorn
and my penguins.
That's right. They're up there.
No, my penguins are up there.
Yeah, the penguins right there. And Tom's got little Fitzy, right?
That's right. I got a little replica of my beloved Fitzgerald.
Mm-hmm. And so Mama Kim sent me a little one that had like a Canadian shirt, and I named him Hallie because one week from today, I was supposed to actually be going to Halifax.
So
I thought
Hallie.
That was a cute little
oh,
name for him.
Okay.
But that trip will take place another time. Do you need me to pick up one of your eyes? You just rolled them so hard, Trish.
No, it's okay.
Did one roll out?
Captain Moose Knuckle, I got it myself, okay? I got it.
I cannot.
Anywho, no, I've been doing okay, trying to stay busy, trying to learn more about this new diet that I have to really live by.
Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like life altering, but it is a little bit of a life change.
Well, I mean, it makes so much sense because we've been dealing with this bullshit for so long.
Yeah, for
and
about
I mean, like you, but like
yes,
we.
Exactly, absolutely.
So
yeah, no, for about 25 years of my life, I've been wanting to tear my insides out. Well, it turns out I have celiac disease, which about one in 120 21 Americans have. So I have a very intense allergy to gluten. And that's found, you know, wheat and rye and other products. But
no beer
for
you.
Are you still lactose intolerant as well? Or
see, now I'm wondering if that's not even, because I never was, I don't even know if there's an actual test for lactose intolerance. I just had a doctor to say, you're obviously lactose intolerant. So what I would do is just take lactose pills. But now I'm cutting out the wheat completely, but I'm also cutting dairy out too to try to.
So maybe we should find gluten-free cheese because it exists.
Yesterday I made a gluten-free pizza. It's gluten-free and lactose-free and soy-free. It was really good, actually. It wasn't bad. Okay, it wasn't great, but it wasn't bad. You know, I mean, I could still eat pizza. But yeah, no, it got to the point where like I was looking at my chart and I can't have French fries unless they're fried in their own fryer. Like if chicken tenders go in the French fry fryer, I can't have those. If I order gluten-free pasta, it can't be boiled in the same water as regular pasta. That's how sensitive my stomach is. My villi are probably non-existent in my upper GI tract.
This makes so much sense. Like literally.
I was hoping it was this just so I finally had an answer. And it's not the end of the world. It's not like
it's manageable.
No, it is. Now you can probably bottom better.
Exactly.
I did lose 9 pounds in about 9 days.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm down 9 pounds.
By bottoming?
No, from vomiting quite often.
Because I just needed to make sure we had the reference correctly. Okay.
Yeah, well, it turns out I was doing really well. I was poisoning myself because the melatonin I was taking had wheat in it.
Ooh.
Yeah, so I went to take one 2 nights ago because I was in so much pain, I just wanted to fall asleep. And then I looked at the bottle, I'm like, son of a bitch. I was taking it for 5 straight nights.
So for our listeners, right, I think that this is kind of an important message. Like, what prompted you? Like, what were you feeling? How did it make you feel? Like, what prompted you to finally go get the blood work done and say, like, I need to make sure that what is going on with my body?
Yeah, you know, and this might be, other people might be going through this. And for our listeners, I would love for you to, this is new to me. This is something I'm learning what I can and can't have. You know, I've recently learned, I'm sure there are certain ones, but I can't have soy sauce. Like so many things that you don't know contain gluten. Mm-hmm. Do contain gluten. So any of our listeners, if you want to reach out, give me some advice. I appreciate it. Brands of things that are good. So I'd always had stomach issues my entire life. I was always hospitalized as a young kid, bad stomach issues. And when COVID hit, when the quarantine really began, ever since then, I was vomiting actual vomit coming up, not just dry heave, 3 to 5 times a day.
Ooh.
For about 5 straight months.
No wonder she lost 9 pounds. Here I was thinking she was having sex.
No. I couldn't.
Burning off all those calories.
I couldn't keep anything down. Right. So that's.
But why?
Because, you know, we're in quarantine. I'm sitting home. I'm eating sandwiches all the time. Okay. Like, all right, I just had some pasta, but, you know, I don't got to do anything else. Let's have a fucking sandwich. So yeah. I was just really overloading and.
Oh, yeah.
Gluten. Oh, yeah. We all put on those quarantine pounds. It happened.
Except. On it.
Yeah, exactly. So it got to the point where I was like, I can't keep missing work. I was going home in the middle of my shifts because I felt like absolute death. And we finally got the blood test done. We also checked for like H. pylori, which is a bacterial infection that takes place in the upper GI tract.
Which is also plausible for you.
I see we have a doctor on the show.
Dr. She.
That's right. So I just finally got checked out and we got the ball rolling. I'm now seeing a primary care. I go to the GI on Friday. We'll set up my appointment so I can get spit roasted. They're going to go, you know, Dr. G only had the pleasure of going in the bottom of me. This doctor is going to have the pleasure of going in both sides. So that'll be fun. And then along with that, you know, school starts on Wednesday. I did decide to take some classes online, applying for some extra jobs. And I want to talk about that on air. Good jobs, not like whoring myself. And if you do whore yourself, I'm not saying that's not a respectable career. I'm not here to judge.
No, it's one of the oldest ones.
Like we said.
Exactly. Every trash can has its lid or something
exactly.
Like that.
Exactly.
Right? See, but now it sounded worse.
Yeah,
because now, okay.
100%.
In my head, I was like, if I could bring it back to the opener, it didn't work out.
No, so that was about WAP.
That was about
WAP.
Wet Ass Pussy from Cardi B. And
cool. Well, I'm done, so y'all can take it away.
Yeah.
And Leslie Jordan posted this video listening to it for the first time. And he's like,
oh, my God. Oh.
He's like,
oh, goodness gracious.
Well, I mean, I don't judge. To each their own. Every garbage can has its own lid. And I died. I literally almost, like, it took me a half hour to recover from that comment.
That's pretty hilarious. Yeah, no.
I can't.
He, like, literally reinvigorated his career because of COVID.
Oh, he's amazing, though. I love him. So, have you ever seen him live?
No.
He is like me. He sweats like a fucking pig. So, I saw him in Provincetown.
Well, you guys were born about the same year.
Yeah, pretty much. Nasty. So I saw him in Town Hall in Provincetown when I was up there 1 year. And, oh, my God. Literally, he was drenched right here on the side. His armpits were sweating so much. He was so nervous. But his show was amazing. Far better than Rue McCallahan, before she passed away, she did a show in P-Town, and people were thinking she was going to come on stage and do all this amazing stuff and, you know, and talk about her experience on the Golden Girls and throw some jabbers. She got on stage. No one knew she was going to do this. Opened up a fucking book, a memoir that she had just written, and started reading.
Wait, is she the one that would go around on a rascal?
No, that was Blanche.
She was the, like, slutty one.
Yeah, Blanche on the Golden Girls.
Oh, no, I was talking about the drag queen that would go to P-Town on a rascal.
We're talking about the Golden
Girls. I don't know who any of these people you guys are talking about.
No, you're
about
talking
are.
About Miss Richfield.
You don't know the
I know who
Girl?
Blanche is. I know there's a Blanche. I know that Betty
Sophia.
White is one of them.
Betty is
1 year older
Rose.
Than sliced bread.
Uh-huh. No, but so Rue McCallahan was the one that played Blanche. Let me tell you, I have never seen a room of gay men be ready to rip someone's head off. Because they were not expecting to be read to. I was like, bitch, I could do that on my seat at the hotel all by myself. I could open the book and read. I wanted you to be funny. Right before she passed. It was vicious.
She'd do what she want.
You do what you want, but they were expecting more and they got less and they weren't happy.
You know, I have to say something. I don't know if any, I've watched a lot of the Golden Girls. I'm sure you have. Chris clearly hasn't.
They were clearly ahead of their time.
Exactly my point. There was literally an episode about pretty much about BLM, you know, Black Lives Matter.
Mm-hmm.
And it was almost like an educational episode for Blanche. Where she was hosting a party and hosting a party for, I think, her uncle or something like that.
Right.
And
he had an admiration for the Confederate flag.
But the three girls had a friend, and the friend was, of course, African American. And he came and he kind of explained to her, like, why are you doing this? And she was like, well, I mean, this is for him, not anybody else. And then this person said,
and it's a Southern pride thing. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, and we're talking about going back to like mid-90s, mm-hmm. and you know, these episodes were airing, but they were extremely, I mean, they had episodes touching on gay people, mm-hmm. and acceptance and
divorce.
Yeah, it was really progressive.
Sexuality
for
women.
Time. Right, exactly.
Like everything. It was pretty amazing. But what blew my mind is by the end of the episode, you see her. Blanche, she like learned something. She realized that she was hurting people.
Right.
And she took the time to take down the flag, apologize to her friend, and thank that friend for educating her. And we talk about that on the show all the time. We talk about those conversations you have with individuals and like how those are the ones that make the difference.
Right.
Like,
right.
Staying silent doesn't make the difference.
I mean, on TV, they make it sound like it's, you know, oh, yeah, you're going to go through an uncomfortable conversation and things end up sort of kind of turning around and being what it is. That's not necessarily the case, especially in today's very partisan, like, political arena where you've got a president that publicly advocates for racism and xenophobia and all of these other things, like, really straight out and not even apologize for it. And then you've got the other half or the majority of America that's really wanting to see progressive change. And it's a very, very unique place to be in because we can't find a middle ground.
Well, it's a tough saying, but I truly do stand by it. Remember, silence is complicity.
Right. Right. And it's true. And it's true. If you don't speak up and say something,
it's no different. It's the bystander effect.
Yeah. You can't really be upset for not really being the change that you want to see in the world.
And to add a caveat to that,
yes.
because I always do this.
Of course.
If you are in a place where you cannot speak up,
don't.
Don't, and that's not your fault. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Which is why you I said it's a tough quote to stand by.
You will find your voice and you will find your space, yeah. like literally.
Of course. So. I mean, if your life is threatened in any way by you being honest with yourself and others, then don't be honest.
And if you do have the luxury to have that voice, use it for those who don't have it. Like we try our best to do, and so many other people do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
If you have the platform, use that platform. If you got your soapbox, just ask Trish nicely. She'll step off for one moment, and you use that for a moment.
Yeah,
so speak quickly.
Just for a little bit. So listen, guys, this was an amazing conversation talking about weekends and issues and things that are happening. We didn't get to some of the stories that we have lined up for you. Maybe we'll get to them after our guest, but we do have a guest that's coming on in the second half of the show, which means that now we do have to take a break and leave you with some music. And when we come back, we will have our guest, Britt East. Here's some music. We will be right back.
She was waiting by the back door, said, babe, we gotta leave town. Get your shit, get your suitcase, your dog, your guitar, cause we gotta go now, cause they're coming. Well, they know our fucking names, yes, they're coming, just the same. Well, I know you don't want to leave your life. You've had some blood and tears, little joy, little strife. They're coming, well, they're coming down the road. Yes, they're coming, truth be told. And don't forget the whiskey, and don't forget your history. It was never their land in the first place, but they're coming just the same. A knapsack full of judgment, hypocrisy and lies. And they're talking so much hateful bullshit, they've begun to gather flies. But they're coming, well, don't look them in the eyes. Yes, they're coming, no surprise. And with so much terror in our past, how are you so surprised it's come to bite you in the ass? Yes, it's coming. Well, it's nipping at your heels. Yes, it's coming for the kill. And don't forget the whiskey, and don't forget your history. It was never the land to sell or trade. No, don't forget the whiskey, and don't forget your history. It was never the land in the first place. Where we can get on that train, head out to the wastelands, where we can change our names. Cause they're coming, well, they know our fucking names. Yes, they're coming, just the same.
Welcome back from the break, ladies and gentlemen. That, of course, was Wastelands by Amanda Barrick, a previous guest of ours. Her new album, Wastelands, came out on July 31st. We always make sure to play our artist music because we want you to listen to the amazing work that people do when they come on our show and just present. And the song, the album, it's a spoken word album along with music. It is just incredible. But make sure that you go check it out and get it. It is available on all of your major streaming services. Joining us now, of course, is our guest for tonight, for this evening. Of course, it is Britt East. He is the author of A Gay Man's Guide to Life. We're super excited to have him here with us. Thank you for joining us and welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a thrill to be with you.
When we got the copy of the book, we were like, okay, this is A Gay Man's Guide to Life. Okay, we're going to
Figure out how to live
and do all of that good stuff. So we've got questions, and obviously we'll get into that. But before we do, I'm going to let these folks around the table go around and sort of kind of introduce themselves so that you know who you're talking to. And then we'll want to hear a little bit about you. So why don't you start off?
Hey, so I'm the one that emails you all the time. I'm Nick and or Trish.
My name is Tom.
Hi, I'm Chris. Nice to meet you officially. Before we get started, though, what is your shirt?
Oh, I have a dear friend who owns an online t-shirt company, and they're a little bit irreverent, and this one is sort of apologizing in multiple languages for our president.
That's fantastic.
Okay.
Now I have to. I'm going to show you mine now so you can see it.
Oh, love it.
I saw yours right away and I was like, I like this guy.
Did you plan that shirt or was that just like happenstance?
It's just in the rotation, no planning.
That's amazing.
Very good. Pleasure to meet you. Pleasure to have you with us.
So this is Chris, and again, we have our guest Britt East here joining us. He's the author, again, as we mentioned before, of A Gay Man's Guide to Life. Britt, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, and so that our listeners know who you are.
Absolutely. So I'm 45 years old. I live in Seattle with my husband and our wackadoodle dog. And this is my first book that I've written, and it was about 20 years in the making. So I'm so thrilled for it to be born and see the light of day, and so I can share it with you fine folks.
So first and foremost, congratulations on your first book. It's, I'm sure, an accomplishment for someone who writes a book, right? It's one of the best things or the best news that you can get is that when you send it out to be published, it's like, yeah, we have a date for you. We're going to release your book, and here it is.
Yeah.
First things first, what was it like when you got that first copy?
Oh, the whole thing has been surreal. You know, I started actually writing the book in April of last year. So that process has been really fast. I mean, beyond my wildest dreams. The 20-year reference was kind of how long it's been since I've been marinating on this topic and really started my spiritual, personal growth and development journey. So to see it in my hands, I mean, people have been telling me I should do this for, you know, 2 decades, and to see it in my hands is just this surreal experience. And it's, everything is happening so fast. I have to consciously find moments of peace and quiet to reflect on what I've done, what I've brought forth into the world, and all of the support that I've received. And it's really overwhelming. And but it's such a whirlwind that I have to like carve out those moments. Otherwise, it's just a blur.
So I'm in the process of reading the book. We get a lot of books, so trying to keep up.
Bear with us.
But that being said, you start this off saying that this book is for gay men by a gay man. Though certainly anyone is welcome to read it, and most of the concepts that I present apply to all of us. But why is that so important, that this book is literally for gay men?
Damn it, we deserve it.
Yeah.
Give back a applause. Yes, absolutely.
You know, we have been translating and doing backflips for generations to make other people's content fit our lives. And so I make no bones about the fact that I wrote this with us in mind and using our language and our cultural reference point. So yes, people can apply the concepts regardless of their walk of life, but now they get to do those backflips. They get to do that translating because I use our language in this book.
So the title in itself, A Gay Man's Guide to Life, right? What your experiences, what you went through in life, you're writing down in a book. It's a part memoir, but it's also a how-to guide, right? Here's what you can do. Why your way?
Yeah, it's, hey, try not to make all the mistakes I made. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's sort of like if you had an older brother and you were doing some really dumb things and your older brother beat you up a little bit and gave you some words of wisdom. That's how I kind of see the book. It's a bit of a beat down. We have, through no fault of our own, through the bigotry foisted on us by straight America, we have been living a series of lies. And we have got to stop. The world needs us.
100%,
we are essential. And so we have got to wake up and take charge of our lives. And for many of us, because we were denied the foundational support systems, the educational tools, the rites of passage, the ceremonies, the traditions, the mentoring, whether it's through homophobia or the deaths due to the AIDS epidemic, we have got to take that work on ourselves. And it's not fair, but we've still got to do it.
You know, we talk on the show a lot about why I and each individual thinks, you know, homosexuality is still a thing and why, you know, over history, it hasn't died out, or, you know, whatever, humanity hasn't gotten rid of it. That being said, you said that we are essential. What do you mean by that? Can you expand on that?
Yeah. My favorite theory, and these are just theories, you know, evolutionaries, you know, sociologists will be arguing about this for decades. But my favorite theory is that gay men inject more love into communities by our very existence, that we are the healers, the shamans, and build bridges, and that communities fare better with us in them,
right?
Just from an evolutionary natural selection standpoint. Now, that I can't sit here and say I can prove that on the show. That's just a theory that happens to be my favorite theory. And there are all types of gay men out there. We're not all shamans. We're not all one thing or another. What is essential is our culture, and that culture is made up of a collection of people, and that collection of people is each and every damn one of us.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
None of us can be left behind, regardless of what flavor of gay we practice.
Right.
Regardless of who we are. We are all required. We are all part of this rainbow, and the world needs more rainbows now more than ever.
Agreed. I mean, in his life, there is nothing but rainbows, right? So if I could have a rainbow painted above his seat here, he would have it. No, but I wanted to go back to that comment and say, you know, that we are essential, right? Think about, like, for example, in real estate, right? When you have a gay couple move into your neighborhood, your property value increases instantly. Why? Because we do.
Dom's there.
handy homos here. Because we literally, we know how to just make things look amazing and beautiful. Obviously, not every gay person or every person in the LGBT community has that talent. But for the most part, we thrive, or we strive to make sure that we present a really, really amazing facade. And so,
oh, not facade, I wouldn't say. But also, like you said, amazing and beautiful. But at the same time, it's more inviting and welcoming.
Agreed. Also, and so when you say that, and when you look at it in the context of what we bring to society, aside from our decorating skills, because we're awesome.
I can't decorate for shit.
That's okay. But, you know, you work at
it. He has a wall of clocks.
I like clocks.
What I'm trying to say is that for the most part, as gay men or women, lesbian, or any member of the LGBT community for that matter, we make an effort to ensure that those who are around us feel comfortable, and we like to make sure that our surroundings are comfortable, and that we create and foster spaces that are warm and welcoming and loving. And I think that that just radiates in all aspects of life. So you're right. We are essential.
I think you're right, too. And I think it literally just speaks to the TED Talk I always bring up. And I'm not going to go into it right now because it would take too long. But literally, what you're saying right now kind of like embodies the fact that homosexuality infuses emotional intelligence into a community that needs it.
Right.
It really breeds love and care into a community that may or may not have it. You know what I mean? That's what I think. That's what I think homosexuality is still around for and will still be here for. But that being said, you had said also too earlier that you think that this book is so that people don't repeat your mistakes. I don't necessarily feel like I agree with that statement, because I feel like you were born and bred a certain way. And so your mistakes were not yours to choose, almost. I wonder if you would like to expand on that a little bit.
Sure. I first got real in the 12-step program. And that is a program where you earn social currency through how raw you're willing to be and how much you're willing to own. So I hear you. I tend to err on the side of owning as much of my harm as I can. I certainly, I'm under no illusions that whether it was through the child abuse I experienced at the hands of my family or the bigotry I experienced at the hands of straight people, that there was a lot of cards stacked against me in this deck. And unfortunately, what I did with those cards is I weaponized my pain. And I used that to cause real harm that I own. Mm-hmm. And I own the consequences of that, not as a matter of blame or shame, but as a matter of honesty. And like they say in the 12 steps, the fearless moral inventory, I have to start somewhere. I have to name all the harm that I've caused so I can see that it has a beginning, a middle, and an ending. Uh-huh. It is not infinite. And so this is what I have done, and that is what I have not done. Uh-huh. And thereby, I can take control over my life. I can apologize. I can make amends and then move the hell on.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. So when you decided to finally sit down and pen this book, what was the definitive moment that you said, okay, you know what? My friends have been telling me for a while to do it. Everyone's telling me, do it, do it. You know, you've got 20 years behind you that you can literally sit down and pen this. What was the definitive moment in your process, in your journey, that you finally said, okay, you know what? I'm going to sit down and I'm going to do this and put it on ink?
You know, I had felt really hesitant for years about monetizing my memoir. Mm-hmm. It just felt icky. And that's no judgment about anybody else. That's for some reason, I just didn't like it. And I don't even know that I understand why. I just know that I didn't like it. And so I hemmed and hawed and I didn't want to do it. And I was working with a life coach. And what I realized in my work with him was that I could make the reader the hero of the story.
And how did you do that?
By focusing on their pain. Okay. By focusing on what they have experienced, their story. So I include my story a lot at the front and then intersperse it in the succeeding chapters as a way to gain their confidence, as a way to build credibility. But really, the reader is the ultimate focus of the work.
Right.
I just want to be the family that maybe that reader never had. In case they need a leg up, in case they didn't learn what they needed to in school for all sorts of reasons, or at home for all sorts of reasons, or in the internet for all, you know, in the entertainment internet space for all sorts of reasons. I just wanted to bridge that gap. Mm-hmm. And that helped me feel less icky about the whole thing.
Right.
Nope. Go ahead.
So in essence, what I'm understanding is, you know, you wanted to set a set of, here's how to deal with XYZ, and here's what happened to me, so that you know that what I'm telling you is something that either I've experienced or practiced or I have done that worked for me, and that you could possibly use in your life to, you know, help yourself in some way.
Exactly. And so the reader would not feel so alone. I mean, because of all sorts of social dynamics, starting with the fact that it was illegal for us to congregate, literally, for generations, mm-hmm. we've lived cloistered lives. And social media, ironically, has only exacerbated that, especially with our cultural transactional nature to sex and coupling and partnering. And so we tend to wear masks as a community and to slink in the shadows metaphorically. And so by exposing some of the deepest, darkest truths about myself, my behavior, my choices, I hoped that the reader might feel a little less alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the book, you talk a lot about your therapist and your life coach. I'm interested to talk about the stigma around that, right? I feel like there are a lot of, not just men, but in general, there are a lot of people that have this stigma around seeing a therapist, getting a life coach, but that really helped you. It helped you with, your family. It helped you with a lot of, issues surrounding love and relationships. And I was wondering if you wouldn't mind talking a little bit about that and why it was important to share that in your book.
Yeah, there definitely is, because so many people, when they think about seeing a therapist, it's like, that means there's something wrong. There's innately something wrong, and that's not even close to the fact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And people see therapists for all sorts of reasons. And,
right.
You know, it was just real obvious to me that I needed help. And I mean, like, I'm not an electrician. If there were electrical wiring issues in my house, I wouldn't try and do that myself. Right. Not a plumber. I wouldn't try plumbing myself. I'm, you know, so I would call an expert. And that's one of the underlying themes in the book is you're not alone. You can hire expertise. You can source expertise. You can find, you can create a team of people to help you along the path and, you know, augment your friends, your family, your other relational support network. So for me, I needed a therapist to help me understand my story and somebody who could hold the entirety of that story. So the kind of therapy I've been drawn to is a very relational modality. And it's almost like hiring a brother or a sister in a lot of ways, or a parent. You know, I just needed to be re-raised, frankly.
Right.
I was not properly parented. And that just doesn't, that's not something you can get from, you know, a movie. That's not something you can just sit down and do for yourself. That you have to be joined in your story. You have to be heard. There's a benevolent witnessing that happens that creates some sort of a spiritual bond that is required to then move on. All of this is in the name of closure and moving on. And then the life coach was different. The life coach was more about putting attitude into action, whereas my therapist is like a long arc listening to the entirety of my story. My life coach is more about, okay, what are your goals? What is your mission? What is your purpose? And how can we identify whatever perceived obstacles you think are standing in your way and plow through them?
That's beautiful and important to hear. I'm wondering if we can dive a little deeper, and if you don't want to, we don't have to, but dive a little deeper as to that moment, right? Because you hear about it in the book. You don't have to be explicit about what happened, but we don't want people to get to that moment, right? That you experienced.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. So how does one, if they're not going to read the book, if they do read the book, because this is, in my opinion, in reading it and going through it, it's sort of like a self-help guide to gay men's life a little bit. But how do we identify
or recognize
that we need to speak to somebody or deal with something prior to that moment?
Right.
You know, it's funny because before you led me to right here, this moment is so far in the past of my consciousness, I forget about it, which is a wonderful thing. Right. So what he's alluding to is the fact that I tried to kill myself. And this was in my freshman year of college. And so it just became really clear that I needed some help. And luckily, in my school, I was able to get it for free. There was graduate students who need doing internship or something. They need, some number of hours of treatment practice. And so I was able to get it for free. And that was my first introduction. So the point is, I was introduced to it really young and normalized it really quickly. So we, like you're saying, we don't want the listeners to have to make those mistakes and get all the way there. Hopefully we can recognize the signs earlier. I think the key here is looking back on my life, there were so many milestones that went missed along my emotional journey to that moment, starting with, isolating behavior, fantasizing about my own death, prolonged periods of depression where I struggled to maintain healthy relationships, but even stoke the desire to reach for others. It's almost like I lost my taste for the milk of human kindness.
And do you think a lot of that stems from the fact that you grew up in a rural area with a family that wasn't necessarily supportive? Like, I think that is really important. We have a lot of listeners in Middle America. We have a lot of listeners in countries that actually can't be out and proud.
Outlaw homosexuality straight out.
And I think that it's really important to kind of acknowledge your background a little bit, because the reality is, at one point, you had to say goodbye to your family.
Absolutely. So I grew up in 1980s Tennessee. And if you're not familiar with that, you know, you can often kind of assume the level of trauma a gay man has endured based upon their geography and their age. And so I grew up in the shadow of AIDS, not in the middle of the crisis, but just after it, where sex equaled death, and it was some exotic, terrifying death. And it was like growing up in oblivion because the gay culture was entirely underground, which was great. But if you were a kid, it meant that you didn't have easy access to it. And this was, of course, pre-internet. So there was an intense amount of isolation. And then heaped on top of that was all the trauma of the child abuse I endured that was not related at all to my homosexuality. Mm-hmm. So it was all kind of roiling in this stew of self-hate. A lot of it, as you imply, was geographically driven, just because of access to resources and awareness just wasn't there. And I'm sure it's changed dramatically since I've been there, but it just wasn't there. And there's obviously places all over the world that where you face similar challenges. And you know, all I can tell you is that each of us has to fight for our own mental health. You know, in a world steeped in straight supremacy, everyone makes homophobic choices from time to time, even gay people, even against themselves.
And
we have to fight for our own mental health.
And that's evident clearly. I mean, when I look at some of the social media posts that are happening and how people interact with each other, how negative we are in our community towards other members of our community. For example, the trans community, or for example, people of color, and how disenfranchised they are in even safe spaces, right? Spaces that we deem should be safe. It is incredibly alarming to see the toxicity that exists within our own community when we have already experienced so much of it without even having to contribute to it.
Yeah, I have all sorts of theories of this, which I spend a lot of time going through in the book because I think it's so important. But I will say that, you know, if it could be quantified, when it comes to things like racism and misogyny, I just feel like we're the worst.
Yeah.
I've just got to be honest. I just feel like, and I think there's all sorts of reasons behind that, you know, but we have to be honest that if you are a cisgendered white gay man, you have more social power than just about any other segment of society. And so we have to be leading the charge for anti-racism, anti-misogyny, you know, anti-transphobia, all of it across the board. We have to be leading that charge, but we're not. We're more worried about cocaine and hooking up.
Exactly.
And so we've got to wake up.
And it doesn't seem to prove more evident than in the most, what we call small, tight-knit communities. When you look at a community that we live in, that's so prevalent. Right. It really is. And those ones that we claim to be such a tight-knit community, but at the same time, like you said, sex and drugs sometimes trumps everything that we, all the love that we're preaching.
Sex for sure, yeah. That being
God damn
said,
it, Trish.
I know, I'm sorry. I don't mean to ruin it. That being said, I do have two more things that I want to ask you about before we wrap this up, because I feel like this has kind of been a heavy conversation. I think that your book inspires as well as brings reality to its readers. And that being said, I wanted you to talk a little bit about your process of finding love throughout your life, because I know you finally did it, and you know you're still connected to some people in your past, but I think it's important to acknowledge the fact that through all the work that you've gone through and put yourself through, you've been able to actually, you know, find that person and find love.
Yeah, absolutely. I am married. I've been, you know, who knows how long I've been married with the legal changes and everything. I mean, I can't even tell you. But we've been together for 11 years now. And so, you know, our marriage is like most people's marriage in that it is a lot of work. But I am so fortunate and thrilled to have had this opportunity. When I think about the legions of men who never knew this moment, it breaks my heart. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's so important that we keep fighting. You know, when it comes to finding love as a gay man, you've got to fight for it, just like anything else. And you've got to start with yourself. You've got to fight for that twinkle in your eye. You've got to learn how to delight in your own inner beauty. Mm-hmm. That's what radiance is. And if you don't have that twinkle in your eye, you're going to struggle to find a date. You're going to struggle to find love. We've heard the cliche 1,000 times. You've got to learn to love yourself. But we're still working on that as gay men. We've got to internalize that. We're still grappling with the beauty myth. We're still grappling with internalized homophobia. We're still grappling with a saturation of straight, male glorified imagery. You know, we've got a lot of self-love to do, and that's how you're going to find love. And that's certainly how I found love, by hiring experts and doing a lot of hard work. I learned to fall in love with myself.
Mm-hmm. What do you
and
say?
That's not narcissistic. That's requisite. That's required before you go out.
Agreed. Absolutely agreed.
What do you say to those individuals that say that therapy doesn't work? I mean,
find another one, because that first one you tried didn't work out.
Yeah, I love that. And it's like when somebody goes to a yoga class and they don't like it, or if they go to 12 steps or some other program. I mean, there's so many flavors of therapists out there. Even within a given modality, there's all sorts of different styles and stuff. Just do what works. And if it's not therapy, then do something else. You're not going to hurt my feelings. What do I care? Do what works.
Exactly. Right. Sometimes the plumber sucks and your next turd still won't go down, but we're going to find a better one after that. And with something with that, it brought me back to the beginning when Trish had mentioned the whole thing about the don't make my same mistakes. And you had mentioned weaponizing anger, and that is something that I do agree with. Don't make my mistakes. Don't weaponize that anger. Turn that into resilience. Like you said, you found your love. Don't hold back and hold this hatred that, you know, it might not work out for me, because it always can if we're resilient about it. So that's one thing that I had to write that down to make sure that I had that in there, because I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
So I have a question from one of our listeners, and they wrote, what happens when someone is unable to hire an expert to help them do that hard work?
It's a great question. Yeah, we all come from, whether it's different financial means or geographies, where we, you know, some of us might live where there are not gay friendly experts available to us. And unfortunately, there's just no easy answers. We've got to get creative and tenacious. That's part of the resiliency you're just speaking of. We have got to take ownership of our lives and fight for it. So that might be, if it's a geographical issue, then that might be working online. Mm-hmm. Working with somebody online. That there's lots of therapists who do it online now, especially during this pandemic. Life coaching is almost exclusively online. My life coach lives in Spain, so I mean, it's like,
oh, wow.
And if money is an issue, there's all sorts of creative options out there. There's all sorts of people who need credit hours who will do it at reduced rates or for free. There's all sorts of associations that will sponsor that. But unfortunately, I can't wave a magic wand and make that challenge go away for you. You're going to have to fight for it and get creative. But there are plenty of people out there doing that. And then in lieu of that, there are books. There's tons of free stuff online. Like on my website, I have free articles about this stuff. I have free blog posts. I post about it every day in social media. So there's a wealth of information at your fingertips if you're willing to fight for it.
Can you tell us what your website is?
Yeah, it's britteast.com, BRITTEAST.com. And that's the hub for all of my work. All my social media links are there, free articles, free podcasts, blog posts, all sorts of stuff. And that's also where you can find my book.
That's amazing.
Excellent.
So my last thing for you, and then I know we have one more thing we're going to ask, but my last thing for you is, do you think there's a point in the book where if it feels like you almost want to encourage everybody within the LGBTQ community to read this book and kind of steep their experience in, sort of what you went through. Do you think that everybody in the LGBTQ plus community should read this book? And if so, why?
Absolutely. Yes, of course, I would love for everybody in our community to read this book. Now, I don't have the lived experience of every single walk of life in this community.
Right.
I'm a white, cisgendered, gay man. And so that is the lived experience from which I write. Having said that, I've worked really hard. I worked my butt off to be as inclusive as possible, and especially speak directly towards my gay brothers to clean our shit up. and to address whatever biases and stigmas we're walking around with, so we can create a bigger tent and have a, you know, bigger umbrella. If you do come from those other walks of life, you're going to get so much out of it, and because so many of the themes are universal, and you're really going to get to know the mindset of a gay man. So if you have gay men in your life, you're going to really start to understand them and see them in a new light.
Do you think this would be good for parents to read?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the funny thing about parents is that even the most well-meaning parents rarely raise culturally gay children. And so the best antidote to any parenting is diversity.
Right.
Diversity across the board. You know, you don't wait until you self-diagnose your kid to be gay. That's kind of a disaster waiting to happen if you're going that route. You know, introduce diversity from all walks of life, as much diversity as possible. It's beautiful for its own sake, and it will strengthen and embolden and empower your kids, whoever they turn out to be.
Right. And it's not that, you know, that they wouldn't learn something themselves, but just the fact that they are not gay, they don't walk our walk and wear our shoes and go where we go. And so for them to understand who we are as people really is impossible. They can only read about it. And if they can foster an environment in where, you know, their child feels safe and loved and cared for, then that would open up an opportunity for them to have compassion and be able to care for someone that they may not understand, but know that, you know, I may not understand who you are, what you're all about, but I will make sure that you are safe so that you can walk your walk and find your journey.
Yeah, empathy can only carry us so far. And right. And at some point, it resorts to lived experience. Mm-hmm. But empathy can open those doors and signal safety.
Right.
It's like what you say to your kids, and when you're not the other to a certain extent, but what you do, they're watching like a hawk.
Oh, of right. course. Yeah. Right. They're like sponges.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yes. Absolutely. So, Britt, thank you so much for coming on. Before we let you go, I mean, we've had the honor of having you on to discuss your first published work, like something that you said was 20 years in the making, went through a speedy process to really get it out there on paper. But, I mean, this, you're an intelligent guy. You're compassionate. This can't be it. I mean, what do we have coming down? What do we have coming next? Like, what are the hopes? What do you inspire? As Tom would say, what do we have down the pike?
You know, I'm already working on the sequel. I envision an entire series of gay man's guides because we need it. And yes. So what I'm planning to do is expand each chapter into its own book. And the next one's going to be about love.
Nice.
We look forward to that.
That's you just literally just went up his alley.
I just got chills.
I know.
Well, Brett, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for coming on and really sharing your first experience as a writer, as an author, published author, publishing your great work. We're going to push it on our end. We'll make sure that everybody goes to BrittEast.com. That's where they can get the book. Also access a lot of information that you have compiled and put up there for to help people. It's amazing and beautiful to see someone tell their story and have it be something that could help others. It's selfless, and it's just amazing.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
And when I finish it, I will rate and review.
You as usual. As we all will. So one thing I will tell you is, which we always tell anyone that comes on our show, listen, when you reach out to us and you make it a point to come on this forum and sit with us, even though we can't be physically in the same space, obviously, for obvious reasons, your family. And so we want to make sure that if you have something else, you have an update on your book, something new, you want to expand on those new chapters, let us know, because you're stuck with us now.
You're good. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't get rid of us, and you're more than welcome to come on the show and let us know how you're doing. Give us an update on your book. Again, I want to congratulate you because it is an amazing, it's an amazing feat to reach when you write your first book and have it, put it out there for the world.
And share a personal story.
Absolutely. Right. And be warned, because the most persistent thing on earth is her emailing skills.
So before we let you go, very quickly, please, once again, tell us where they can go to communicate with you? Are you, obviously we have your website, britteast.com. Are you on social media? Give us your Facebook, Instagram, all that good stuff.
Where can they buy the book?
Sell yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The best place to go is to my website. It has links to everything you just listed. I'm on all of the socials. You cannot get away from me. I have a blog. I'm doing podcasts all the time. And then it has a books page, which will direct you to your favorite online store. This book is available from, 100 different online stores. So there's really no excuse. And a lot of them are independent bookstores. So it's not like you only have to go through Amazon. You can go through independent bookstores, and I'm working really hard to get it in all of the, as many local bookstores as I can. And I've gotten it into a number of them. So you can check your local bookstores as well, but really britteast.com is the hub. Start there, and it has links right off that page to everywhere else you can find me.
Also, if you like his voice, which I do, you can find him on Audible as well. He has an audiobook for this book, and I like it.
Yes. I am the narrator, so you can hear the dulcet Barry White tones of Rick East reading his book from start to finish.
That's amazing. That's awesome to know.
Yeah, that is, because Trish, we're still working on letters with her, but she'll get there eventually.
The alphabet, it's hard for me, but listening, I can do.
Well, my friend, once again, I want to congratulate you and also thank you for joining us on today's episode, and you're more than welcome to join us anytime. Let us know what you're working on.
It was my pleasure. I'm huge fans of you, and I'm thrilled to be with you. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Our pleasure. Have a wonderful night. Bye. Well, ladies and gents, that, of course, was Britt East, his book, A Gay Man's Guide. You have to get it. You have to go on to britteast.com. Make sure that you go to the website. Connect. One of the best things that I always say that you can do when you join us or when someone joins us on the show is connect with them, because the experience of being able to connect to a lot of the guests that we have, from Hans Hershey, for example, is life changing. Hans is a little bitchy from time to time.
Yeah,
we
but
love
she
her.
Came to Nahaven, okay?
She so. Did. She literally came all the
she
way to
She swam all the way from fucking Sweden to get here.
She took me to dinner, and then I took her to Parker.
That's right. And she walked in, and she was just like, yeah, this is not for me.
It was actually a Sunday night. I took the night off, and it was karaoke. You were there.
Yeah, that's right. No, of course. It was great to see him. But, listen, we look at it this way. We're a show to promote our community. And so if you're an author, if you're a singer, if you are someone who just wants to help others and you want to be on the show, we're here for you, because we're here to open doors and to give people voice and a space for them to share what they know and their experiences with the world. Because you never know, someone's listening on the other end of that line. You could help someone. And that is our mission, and that is our goal here on the show.
And luckily, I'm unemployed, so I can respond to most of the emails.
Yes. So, all right. So I know that we should wrap up soon, but there are incredible stories that we had that we must talk about. I am going to forego mine this week because I feel that we need the level of exuberance that is what Nick had lined up for us. So I want you to talk about the latest in the animal kingdom.
Obviously.
Like, hello.
Thanks, Mama Kim, again, because guess what? We have more gay penguins. And I could not be happier. Literally could not be happier. I have been searching and scouring the internet lately to find something on animals and, homosexuality, but nothing's popped up.
So I have to do it, though. You keep going. You keep going.
But now, there are two lesbian penguins at the aquarium in Valencia, Spain. He added that long word in for me. I'm not going to say it. And they are proud parents of a newly hatched chick. Electra and Viola incubated and hatched an adopted egg. What's happening?
I want to show our listeners the gay penguin.
Yes.
Oh. Yes,
I can see it, damn it.
And that's Dookie.
Hi, Dookie.
So, Carlos Barros, who is a bird keeper at the aquarium, put one of a different couple's eggs into their nest, and they literally hatch the egg. We still don't know if it's a male or a female. We won't know for a few weeks, but we will make sure to follow up because we definitely want the name. But
it's adorable.
I know. It's the cutest little thing.
It's so adorable. And it's just wonderful, like we always talk about, to see, just to see homosexuality in Animal Kingdom. It makes as, you know, an intelligent species, not that penguins aren't, but like...
It reminds us it's natural.
Exactly. Of course. Thank you.
You know, it exists in nature, and we are who we are.
We didn't just make this shit up.
No! It's amazing.
But one of my favorite things about this article was, at the end of the article, they said, while we await for the gender reveal for the love chick of Electra and Viola...
Electra and Viola. I love those names. So the other one was Fen and the gay penguins. Remember them?
Yes, Fen. I can't remember the other one's name. No, Sven was the child's name. It was... Oh, we'll get there.
We'll get there.
But
so Viola and what else?
Electra and Viola.
Electra and Viola.
Perhaps it is time to make penguins the official mammal of the LGBTQ P+ community.
Oh, she put the P in there. You know what? I wouldn't be opposed to that. Penguins are absolutely gorgeous and cute.
That's right. And I was actually watching about 27 minutes of like just random penguin videos this morning.
Oh,
it was just like, look at them, like when they fall over
and then they try to get up or they fall over the ice. Yeah, that's awesome.
They're the cutest.
They're amazing. That's
awesome. You ever see those things leap out of the water onto a freaking glacier? It's adorable.
Yeah, and especially when they're like swimming away from like killer whales.
They're fast.
They are fast.
Incredibly fast. So that's awesome. So I always like to hear, you know what I enjoy more? Your enthusiasm for gay animals.
Yeah, no, I'm not an animal person, but if they're gay, I love them.
So
maybe perhaps one day Pat will bring home, like, I don't know, a gay peacock or a
gay
wombat.
Okay, I will tell you.
You're picking like every like terrible animal.
Peacocks
are like loud and intense,
and they're very vicious. Yes. Okay, so I went to Florida.
Yeah, I've seen peacock before,
but no, have you seen them in mating season? They are vicious.
Well, stop trying Chris to fuck a peacock.
That's a valid point.
No, so
wash and repeat.
Rinse and repeat. I went to Florida and stayed there for Mother's Day, and I didn't realize that it was breeding season for peacocks. And the resort that I stayed in had them all over the place. And they yell at night like crying children, like you're murdering a child. It's freaking crazy. And then if you walk by them, they sort of kind of like start getting really big and they try to display. I was like, bitch, I'm not a female peacock. You don't need to display all your feathers for me, although I know why you're doing it, because it's because I'm gay and fabulous. Thank you. But you don't. And it's scary. It's really scary. And they like look at you and like, I don't know. They look like very pretty pterodactyls. They do. Have you ever seen a peacock's face?
I thought you were going to ask me if I've ever seen a pterodactyl. I was like, I think I saw one on Wednesday.
Yeah.
It was actually on Tuesday when we were watching Jurassic Park. So I want to wrap it up.
Okay. So before we do, would you like to, Christopher, talk about your story? No? Yes? No?
You know what? We have so much time. Not so much time. But we'll get back to it next week. We got time before November.
Well, next week it's all about the dish.
Exactly.
So
that's perfect. I have one last thing I have to say tonight. All right, cool. Okay. Yeah, we'll get back to that one.
All right, well, listen, guys, I want to thank you all for tuning in, of course. There's a couple of more things that we need to do before we wrap it up, so I'm going to switch it over to my two co-hosts here because they're going to bounce off each other and do our two next segments, and then we'll bring it home.
You're doing the gay talk term today.
Oh, I'm doing the gay talk term? Uh-huh. All right.
You
so,
chose it.
Oh, yay.
I start.
Okay.
So. All right, everybody. So guess what time it is? It's time for Mama Kim's Minute. So number one, gay couple's hilarious video message to the jerk who stole the pride flag goes viral. Number two, conservatives are calling Kamala Harris a tramp now since the birther attack didn't work.
Boo.
Number three, Drag Race's Chi-Chi Devane has reported...
Devaney.
I'm so bad.
That's okay. That's okay.
Race. I'm sorry. Has reportedly died.
Oh, she died. It's not reportedly. She passed
that's
away.
That's really sad. Number four, the Trump administration is still denying child of same-sex parents their rights.
And that is horrible.
Yep. You know, fuck Trump. Oh, it says it right on my wrist.
If anything, you know, it's just how horrible, the reminder of how horrible this has been for members of our community and for Black and brown people all over this country to have a president like the one that thinks that, you know, he's magnificent and all of these other things that he says he is and he's not. And it's
meanwhile, he's just pardoning white rich people.
Exactly.
He's also stupid and doesn't know what the Constitution is.
Big time. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, our Gay Talk term for this episode and for today is brought to you, of course, by
GayRealEstate.com.
I was going to say UnicornBooty.com.
I found it. There was like a hiccup.
I'm always waiting for you guys to change it and not tell me. It'll especially like there's that one day where I'm super energetic and be like, GayRealEstate.com.
And we're like, no, it's actually the advocate.com.
Yeah, or something like that. Or
I cannot with him. All right, well, listen, our Gay Talk term for today is nibbling. Nibbling is a gender-neutral term referring to a child of a sibling, replacing the term niece or nephew. And I think it's just, I was like a little apprehensive at first. I'm like, it sounds like I'm eating my nieces and nephews. But after watching something that I'm going to cover next week, I'm not going to let the story go. You'll understand why. But that's our Gay Talk term.
If you wanted to expand on it for like five.
I can if you want to. Okay.
It's up to you.
All right, so listen.
I just feel like it deserves it a little bit.
I will post the video on tonight's episode, actually, because I had already put it on there because I thought I was going to talk about it, but now I am. Jennifer Lopez has a transgender nibbling. Okay, niece or nephew, doesn't matter. It's gender nonconforming, who came out recently and was struggling and it is amazing to see how they are all so supportive of their nibbling. Mm-hmm. And it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful video. Props to Jennifer Lopez for 100%. Using her pronouns and for
and the family.
And the whole family, the aunties, the mother, making it so that this individual feels heard, feels seen, feels comfortable, and that they are amazing and beautiful and have a bright future ahead of them.
And props to the nibbling.
And to the nibbling.
For, you know, being their self, mm-hmm. being true to themselves.
Yep. And being so, allowing themselves to be so visible.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Especially with a Jennifer Lopez platform. I mean, I will do it, but you know what I'm saying.
So they even said it on the platform, they were like, you know, I'm so happy that, you know, my titi J-Lo took the time to post that video and talk about pronouns and ensuring that I was identified how I wanted to. Mm-hmm. And it just really made me feel special and amazing and beautiful. We're going to post a video on tonight's show. So just make sure on tonight's post, make sure that you look for it and watch it because it is endearing and absolutely amazing. So that being said,
Chris?
Yep.
What?
Okay, you guys don't watch South Park. Never mind. Okay, so no, all right, we got this. Down. Okay, so on this day in gay history, brought to you, of course, by
GayRealEstate.com.
I'm also waiting for the day where you use it for the gay talk term, and then think like, he thinks it's the same thing, and then we go to on this day, and you change it
about that.
Okay,
but, okay. Yeah, we actually discussed that, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So when August 24th, 1955, here in the U.S. of A.
1953.
Oh shit, 53. I was reading something about the Kinsey scale, which we're going to get to, where the greatest country in the United States, the U.S. of A. Ahead of the September 1953 full release of The Sexual Behavior and Human Female, the magazine reports, quote, sets off the biggest and raciest commotion the world's press had seen in years. This is, of course, about Kinsey, who put out the report for the, I believe it was the male scale in 1948. And then 1953 is when we had the female scale. And then it leads to, of course, the heterosexual, homosexual scale, the Kinsey scale, right? Which states that most people do not fall in the spectrum of zero being completely heterosexual or five or seven being completely, no, excuse me, zero exclusively heterosexual or six exclusively homosexual.
I can confirm that.
It's a very interesting scale. Three or four, then, you know.
Well, three is equal.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm definitely a 6, but I definitely know.
No, she a 12.
Multiply that by 2, please.
And she goes up at an exponential rate.
So you know when you're working with audio and it clips. That's Trish. Mm-hmm. It goes over the allotted amount of time before it starts getting distorted.
Super so does gay talk.
Pretty much.
Because we push it over an hour and 30.
Actually, okay. No, we got an hour and 15.
I know how things work. I'm just trying to make a goddamn joke.
And a point. All right, we'll do it.
All right, well, ladies and gents, thank you so much for tuning in for today's episode. If you love the show, make sure that you go subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcasting service. By subscribing, you get the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your favorite device or web browser as soon as our episodes are published. You can also support us on Patreon, which is a service that allows you, our listeners, to support us with a monetary donation every month. We collect those donations monthly, and they can be in any denomination of a dollar or more. Christopher?
I mean, well, Trish kind of stole the thunder of this point, but next week is all about the dish.
That's
you
right.
Got the three of us, hopefully, maybe the four? No? Three? Four.
We don't know yet.
We don't know yet. There's a nice plastic chair here if anyone would like to join. I didn't notice this the entire show.
Well, I took the other chair upstairs because, you know, now we're working from home, so I needed something comfortable to sit in. So I took one of the desk chairs and brought it upstairs.
Awesome. So, yes, next week, definitely tune in. It's going to be a lot of commotion, a lot of banter.
We
but
have
a lot
to cover. We didn't even touch the DNC. So.
Oh, yes.
And right. Also, thank you for saying that. Please, please, please do not turn to any high-ranking news stations for the next 3 days between the hours of 9 p.m. and 11 p.m. Boycott the RNC.
Yeah.
Okay.
Duh.
I will watch what I want to watch at a later date.
She ain't going to watch it anyway.
I mean, we're going to get news clips anyway, like on
but
Facebook.
But don't give them the fucking ratings.
No, of course not. I'm not watching. I'm not watching DNC, National Convention, whatever you want to
figure RNC.
Out. RNC. There
all right,
you go.
So thank you to our guest, Britt East, author of A Gay Man's Guide to Life. We will have all the information for his book on our post tonight. And don't forget, everybody, get your discount today for The Future Method. Each time you clean out with water or enemas, delicate tissues are harmed and cells are damaged, increasing chances of injury and or STDs.
Harassed.
The first of its kind, doctor-developed formula that gently cleanses before you play without hurting your bum. And now you can get it using code GAYTALK20 for 20% off one purchase or a subscription per person.
I just want to say that literally right after I said boycott the RNC, I got an update. The Republican convention starts tonight, night one. Make sure you boycott that shit.
Yeah, not watching. I'm going to go watch HGTV.
That's what I'm saying. Boycott it. Right? Watch your anything house else, shits that makes you jealous.
But really, who am I kidding? We're going to be producing the show after this episode is done. So, ladies and gents.
Can we please, please do what Donald Trump's parents should have done?
Oh, yes!
Yes, yes.
Let's put a rubber on it.
Let's get a vasectomy. Let's tie them tubes. You can't be too careful.
Every garbage nowadays. Can has a lid.
That's right. That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under show and episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio.
Nick announces... Why you gotta screw with me?
No.
You can find us on social media. Facebook, GayTalk 2.0. Instagram, GayTalk 2.0. Twitter, at GayTalk 20. You can email us at GayTalk2.0@gmail.com. Tom, you're a dick.
Is it every trash has a lid? Boom. Is that what it was? No, he's not. Don't. She'll kill you. Anyway,
listen,
if you need to reach out to us, just head on over to our website, click on the Contact Us tab located at the top of your web browser. There you can leave comments, suggest topics, leave a question for the cast, or you can leave a question for an individual host. You can also call us by calling 334-GAY-TALK. You can leave us a voicemail there. And if you need all those digits, it is 334-429. My mouth is very juicy.
It sounds dry. I hear that.
334-429-8255. Do not forget that we do stream live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can access that live stream by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. Ladies and gents, that is our show. Thank you, and y'all have a fantastic night. Bye! Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.